before starting, we like to interact. Like, what is life? We can start with, what is life?
Yes.
If we ask, what is life? From that, we can come to the life processes.
It is really nice thing that for life processes, we are trying to explain what do we mean by life.
And the very simple, I mean, I should not say definition, but very simple meaning, that is the quality that distinguishes a vital and functional being from a dead body. That the living body, what are the qualities of the living body, being living, is that is the life. Or we can say an organismic state which is characterized by the capacity for metabolism, growth, reaction to stimuli and reproduction. So now, madam, from life we can come the life science, that is biology.
Right.
Life science, it is the science of life or the living matter in all its forms and phenomena. The life science is also known as biology, as we all know.
Yes.
And it is the study of all conditions which make life possible on Earth. So now we can go, that is life processes.
So what do we understand by life processes, doctor?
Yes. Life processes are those activities. These are the activities by which the living organisms, that is, they meet their needs, that is, they take food, derive energy, remove waste from their body, respond to changes in the environment. And the basic life processes, as we know, are the nutrition, respiration, transportation of nutrients and fluids in the body, and excretion, and reproduction to continue the life.
So transportation means it circulatory system will also come in
this. Also come in this, yes. So now we can start the very first one.
So when we talk about life processes, naturally we talk about nutrition, transportation, respiration and excretion. The activities by which living organisms take in food, derive energy, remove waste from their body, all this will come in life processes. So what are we going to achieve by talking about life processes and to know about the life processes? Definitely, we want to emphasize the need for energy requirement for life processes. We know our body needs energy continuously, so there must be some process in the body which is producing this energy for day-to-day work and for other works which are going on inside our body without our knowledge. Also, we will be able to explain the steps, say in photosynthesis. We know photosynthesis is so important for food chain in the environment. The solar energy is trapped by the plants and that is the energy which we get in form of food. So we will know how this goes on and this is another life process. We will be able to appreciate the various modes of heterotrophic nutrition in living organisms. We have already discussed in some previous sessions, dear students, the autotrophic and heterotrophic nutrition. We will try to learn more about it during this discussion. Also, we will realize the importance of the processes of nutrition in humans, identify nutritional disorders and explain the concept of balanced diet. Children, you all are in the age group which needs very good balanced diet and very good nutrition. And it is important for you to know that if we don't take correct kind of food, then what kind of disorders we may get. And what are the ways to get rid of those disorders. Also, we will be able to outline the need for and steps in the process of respiration. We all breathe, dear learners, but we never think about it. We are not thinking and respiring. So this process is going on and it is a very important process. Again, we will learn about this life process as well. We will be able to explain the fundamental aspects of transport of material, food, waste, etc. in plants and animals. For example, whatever food you eat, it is absorbed by blood and through blood it goes to different parts of the body. Or in case of plants, through photosynthesis, food is synthesized and from leaf it will go to different parts of the plant and root will absorb water and minerals from soil and again it will be transported to different parts of the plant. So this kind of transport system is important. In our body, hormones will also move through blood. And also we'll be able to explain the process of excretion in humans. The excretory system, the kidneys. You all know that we urinate, we pass on stool, the fecal matter. This all is excretory product which we have to throw. And for this, we have a system. So we are going to discuss all these life processes in this session. We'll try to discuss as many as possible. Now, we will start with, why do we need food? Dr. Sinha, may I request you to tell us the need of taking food?
We need, all of us, that we need food. Because if you just think, if you don't take food for 1 or 2 days, then how do you feel? You may feel exhausted and you cannot work. And you may feel weak if you don't take food for 2 days or 3 days. Then after that, you will feel weak and you cannot do your day-to-day work. But if you do not get food, then will you survive? If you do not get food for a few days, do you think that you can survive and grow properly? We know that living beings need food to survive because food provides us the essential raw material that our body needs to grow and stay healthy.
Dr. Sinha, at this point of time, may I know about the types of nutrition? When we take food naturally, there must be types of nutrition.
Yes.
So if there you could tell our learners about it.
Yes. There are various types of nutrition. Some organisms, some living beings, can prepare their own food. You know probably that the plants, they prepare their own food. They don't need food from outside. And animals, they eat the plants or other animals. So there are, on the basis of that, we can divide the nutrition into two modes. One is autotrophic nutrition and another is heterotrophic nutrition. So what is autotrophic nutrition? Auto means self and trophos means food. The green plants, some algae and certain bacteria, some of the bacteria, not all, manufacture their own food through the process of photosynthesis. These are termed as autotrophs and their mode of nutrition is the autotrophic nutrition. They are the producers of the food chain at the very base. They are the very basic part of the food chain, as all organisms depend for food on them. And there is another nutrition mode, that is the heterotrophic nutrition. Heteros means different and trophos is again food. The organisms which depend on other organisms for their food, they cannot prepare their own food, are called the heterotrophs.
So what I understand, Dr. Sinha, that food serves three major things. It provides energy to carry out life processes such as respiration, digestion, excretion, etc. Second, it helps in growth of the body and repair of worn out and damaged cells and tissues. And third one being, it helps in the production of enzymes and hormones in the body. And Dr. Sinha, you have already explained the autotrophic and heterotrophic nutrition. Now, there are certain types of heterotrophic nutrition, which we would like to know from you.
There are certain types of heterotrophic nutrition. These are holozoic nutrition. Holos means the whole and zoic is the animal. Holozoic nutrition, it includes the ingestion, digestion and absorption of food. As it is found in amoeba, frogs and human beings.
Okay.
Another one is the parasitic nutrition. That is, some organisms are there who depend on other organisms for food. So these organisms live inside other living organisms and derive their food from them are called the parasites. And the nutrition is called parasitic nutrition.
They are taking it from the organism which will be called host.
Post,
in this case,
yeah. Same as in their whole, maybe green plants or maybe another, yeah. other animals. And there is another nutrition, that is the saprotrophic nutrition. Here, the organisms that derive their food from the dead or decaying organisms. These are called the saprotrophs. The saprotrophs help in cleaning the environment. They help the environment by decomposing the dead and decaying organic matter.
Now, yeah, please carry on.
Now, we can go to the nutrition in plants.
Yeah, that will be good. Should we discuss about photosynthesis
in that case?
Okay.
So, photosynthesis takes place in plants. It is the biochemical process.
I think in green plants.
In green plants.
Yeah.
Photosynthesis takes place in green plants because the green pigment, that is the chloroplast,
is present only
in the green plants.
Dr. Sinha, that will mean that if leaf is white, not green, so that is not doing that much of photosynthesis.
That much of photosynthesis. Sometimes there are patches.
Like money plant. Mm-hmm. So green part is doing photosynthesis and white part is not doing.
Not doing. Okay.
So that is indication of photosynthesis.
Indication of photosynthesis. So these green plants, they manufacture their own food using carbon dioxide. They take carbon dioxide from the environment and water as raw materials in the presence of sunlight. Photosynthesis takes place only in the presence of sunlight, because photo means light and synthesis means make. So by this through this process, oxygen is released as a byproduct. So oxygen is released in the environment and carbon dioxide is taken from the environment. So by this way, the plants help in the balance of the oxygen and carbon dioxide.
That means oxygen and carbon dioxide cycle takes place through plants.
Through plants.
And if plants are not there, we won't get oxygen for our breathing. Now, can we talk about essential raw materials for photosynthesis, which I feel, as you have told, one is chlorophyll, one is sunlight, and then carbon dioxide and water are the raw materials. Now, this chlorophyll, to carry out photosynthesis, plants require as raw material carbon dioxide, that is CO2, learners you know, water, that is H2O, light, that is sunlight, and chlorophyll. Light gives energy for photosynthesis. In fact, sun is the ultimate source of energy in our universe. Then photosynthesis takes place in the chloroplast in the cells of leaves. The green color of plants, as Dr. Sinha said, is due to chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is in the chloroplast. It can trap light, that is sunlight. Trapping sunlight is another important phenomenon. Now, sunlight is absorbed by chlorophyll as solar energy. Now, carbon dioxide and water. You know that carbon dioxide we are giving out when we respire, and even plants when they respire, they give out carbon dioxide, and water is available in the surrounding. Carbon dioxide and water are combined in the chloroplast with the help of a number of enzymes to yield sugar or glucose, which is food of the plant, and it is converted into starch. Oxygen formed during photosynthesis diffuses out into the atmosphere through the openings called stomata. Now we will try to explain the mechanism of photosynthesis.
The mechanism of photosynthesis, it takes place in two steps. One is called the light reaction and another is called the dark reaction. In the light reaction, light is captured by the chloroplast. As we have already discussed, that sunlight is captured by chloroplast. The reaction occurs in the chloroplast. In the dark reaction, glucose is formed. The dark reaction occurs between chloroplast, and the dark reaction and light reaction occur simultaneously.
Dr. Sinha, now we have discussed about light reaction and dark reaction. I can understand the light reaction is taking place in the presence of sunlight and dark reaction is taking place in the absence of sunlight. But I think it is using the byproduct of a light reaction.
It is simultaneously. Yeah. All the two processes take place simultaneously. Sunlight is required. So the trap sunlight is trapped by chloroplast, and then after that, with water and carbon dioxide, glucose is formed. Yeah. This process is the dark reaction.
So dark reaction is also dependent on
So glucose is formed as the product of photosynthesis, which is converted into starch, and it is stored in the fruit or stem and other parts of the plant. Okay.
Now, significance of photosynthesis. If photosynthesis was not there, what would have happened? Photosynthesis is responsible for providing food to all living beings. Dear learners, you know that we eat food and animals also eat food. If we are eating vegetarian food, we are eating plant origin food directly. And if somebody is eating chicken, then chicken has eaten the gehu or wheat or some plant product. So even if one is non-vegetarian, he or she is also dependent on plant kingdom. That means food chain comes from sun to plant and then goes onward. So all the food on this earth we are getting through sun energy and through plants, and you can realize the importance of plants in our life. Without photosynthesis, neither we will have oxygen nor we will have food. So that is the first significance. Next, carbon dioxide produced during respiration by all living beings is used up during photosynthesis and does not accumulate in the atmosphere. Otherwise, one day we will have only carbon dioxide. So that doesn't happen because of plants. And that is why we always emphasize the need of planting more trees in the surrounding. Oxygen released during photosynthesis is used for respiration by living beings. So that is the way we get our oxygen. Now we will discuss some important points regarding nutrition in humans. That is nutrition in our body. And Dr. Sinha, you will tell us about it. Nutrition in humans.
Right now we were discussing about the nutrition in plants, and we have seen that how plants are important for the living beings on earth to continue the life processes on earth. So now from plants we are going to nutrition in human beings. The food that we eat consists of many different items. Sometimes we may prefer to take food of one type and we do not like the other type of food. Sometimes we like the, some of us like the eat vegetarian food. Some of us are eat non-vegetarian food. So our diet is, it fulfills our body's requirement. The diet should be like that it fulfills our body's requirement. And it also should satisfy our taste buds. Not only the satisfaction of your taste buds. Not that. It should satisfy our dietary requirement also. So children, please think about it. So for healthy growth and development of the body, we need to eat food that provides enough of all essential nutrients.
And that is very rightly said, Dr. Sinha. I know some children, most of these children of this age group, they say, I like only bhindi, I like only aloo, I won't eat this vegetable or that vegetable, and that is not very good idea.
Sometimes they don't like at all the vegetables and they like to
have some fast food,
which satisfy the taste buds, but it may not satisfy the dietary requirement that is for growth and development. So, if we divide, we can divide the nutrients broadly into three groups. So, one is energy yielding nutrients, which are the carbohydrates and fats, bodybuilding nutrients, which are the proteins, and another one is growth regulating nutrients, vitamins and minerals. And above all, we need water every day.
And roughage also.
Requirement.
And roughage also.
Roughage also.
So let's talk about carbohydrate. Carbohydrates are the main source of energy in our diet. The carbohydrates may be in the form of sugars starch or cellulose. Like when you eat food, you are taking either chapati or rice or both. That is giving you carbohydrate part. Carbohydrate does not mean that you are eating some meetha, some mithai or some chocolate. Carbohydrate means you are getting energy. And that is why roti or chapati or rice is called staple food. Because that you have to have, then you decide which vegetable, which dal or which other food. Now, dietary carbohydrates, also there are types. Like, one is sugar. The source of sugar, I think it is, Dr. Sinha, fruit and milk. And any other you can suggest? Sugar cane?
Sugar cane, okay. Yes.
Then, another source of carbohydrate is starch. Mm-hmm. Some examples you could give, Dr. Sinha?
Starch, the examples of starch, very good example is potato. Then okay. Wheat, rice. Sweet potato, from this we can get the starch for every day.
That is why the staple diet is either chapati or rice.
Yes,
because every day. Rice
every
we
day
have put
we
there.
Have,
yeah.
We have to take.
Then cellulose, that is roughage. We get from some vegetables and
some salads, raw vegetables, which should be our part of our diet.
Okay. So now we will talk little about fats. Fats keep the body warm. But that does not mean that one should be obese. And it helps in the transport of fat-soluble vitamins. There are certain vitamins which are soluble in fat, not in water. So those will be transported only through fat. Some common sources of fats are edible oil, ghee, butter, meat, nuts, like ground nuts. At this point, children, I would like to tell you, that fat which you get from plant origin has fat but does not have cholesterol. The fat which you get through animal origin has fat also and cholesterol also. Now example, butter, desi ghee. This is from cow or buffalo. It has fat as well as cholesterol. And you all know how dangerous is the cholesterol. Now vegetable oil, groundnut oil, till oil, mustard oil. Any oil from plant origin will have fat, of course. Low fat. But no cholesterol. So don't you think it is better to have oil compared to ghee or butter or margarine? So that is about the fat. And let me say one more thing. That 1 gram of fat on oxidation gives about 37 kilojoules. That is now 9 kilocalories of energy. So you can now know that why by eating butter etc. we become fat. We will discuss about proteins.
Proteins, as we have already discussed, it is the bodybuilding food, which helps in the bodybuilding and the worn out tissues are also recovered. So these proteins we get mostly from dal, milk, egg and meat, fish, chicken, etc. So, who are take vegetarian food, they can get the protein from milk or pulses,
dal. Yeah.
And who are non-vegetarian, they get from eggs or meat or chicken or fish. Fish is a very good source of protein.
And I think in egg, the white part is protein and yellow part is fat and cholesterol.
So,
if you are taking egg for protein, then white part is more recommended.
But for children?
For children.
The
both.
Whole egg is recommended.
Yeah, definitely.
That is good for
because
them.
Because it is growing age.
Growing age, so it is good for them. Yeah. But for older people, it is better to take the white portion.
Now children, we would like to discuss a bit about the vitamins with you. You all have heard about vitamins and minerals and you know that this fruit has this vitamin, that fruit has other vitamin and we require it. So it's good to know about it. We often heard your mother saying, eat carrots, you will have good eyesight, take milk, you will have good calcium, good bones. These kind of comments our parents make at home. This is because carrots contain vitamin A. Now what are vitamins? Vitamins are necessary elements, essential elements. They are necessary for normal growth and maintenance of body and are required in relatively small amounts. In fact, they are required in micro quantities, but then they are definitely required. deficiency of a particular vitamin causes disease. So reverse is, if you take that vitamin, your disease will be cured. Overdose of certain vitamins such as vitamin A and D is harmful. That is why children are suggested that take vitamin in the form of raw fruits and vegetables and not in the form of capsules and tablets.
Because nowadays there is a tendency of taking capsules or some tablets. But it is recommended that you get your vitamins from the raw material, raw food. That is, you take vegetable, you take raw salads, you take green vegetables. So you will get your vitamins from
them. Definitely. Then there are water-soluble vitamins are vitamin B complex, that is B1, B2, B4, B12 and vitamin C. You all have taken shikanji at home, nebupani, that is your vitamin C, soluble in water. Then fat-soluble are vitamin A, D, E and K. From milk you get vitamin A and D and milk has some fat and that is why we call it fat-soluble. In fact, it is fat-soluble. Now, we would like to discuss the sources for vitamins and also what are their functions and what will the result of deficiencies. Now, vitamin A is found in milk, carrot, tomatoes, eggs. They are good for our eyes and skin. And Dr. Sinha, if there is deficiency of vitamin A, what may happen?
Then the night blindness may happen. That is, in they have poor vision in dim light. And sometimes they cannot see in the dim light. Very dangerous. This is very dangerous, the night blindness.
So the children must take milk definitely because it is available in milk. And about vitamin B1, what could be the sources, Dr. Sinha?
The main sources of vitamin B1 is milk, peas, cereals, green vegetables and meat. It helps in growth and development.
And deficiency will cause?
And deficiency can cause beriberi, a disease which affects the nervous system.
So it's very serious.
Very serious. So,
just a glass of milk every day?
Or some green vegetables. Every day the children should take some green vegetables.
Definitely.
That is a must.
Now coming to B12. Now it is found in liver, eggs, milk and fish. So, if you are vegetarian, you can definitely take milk. And if you are non-veg, you have so many options. And functions are, they form red blood corpuscles.
Very important.
Very
because
important.
In the deficiency, there can be anemia.
Anemia.
So
and at this
important.
Point, children, I would like to tell you that RBCs in our body, they don't have nucleus. That is why their life span is limited, 120 days. That means whatever RBCs are there, after 120 days, they will be destroyed. That means our body has to make more RBCs. Now that RBCs are made from in bone marrow with the help of some iron which we take. Now if we have this vitamin B12, RBCs are formed nicely. And if we don't have, then in spite of having other raw material, RBCs will not be formed and it will lead to anemia. So you can children appreciate how deficiency of one small thing results into so many problems. You have all the things in the body to make RBCs except B12, suppose. Then you are not making RBCs. So, balanced diet, having everything properly is very important. And if red blood corpuscles are not formed, then one has anemia, that is deficiency of RBCs. And if you have deficiency of RBC, then you have deficiency of hemoglobin. And that means you cannot carry that much of oxygen and you will have problem in breathing. So one small thing will result into so many things. Coming to vitamin C, children are very familiar. Doctor, you will tell where we find vitamin C.
Vitamin C, the main sources of vitamin C are amla, tomatoes and all the citrus fruits.
Like mausami
and that nimbu. Nimbu pani is
nimbu.
Very good.
Yeah.
And then singara, the chestnut. These are the main sources of vitamin C and it helps in healthy growth and strong blood vessels.
And deficiency will result into what, doctor?
That is a scurvy. That is a disease in which gums swell up and bleed. This is very dangerous and very painful. So, and also vitamin C also helps in the developing our that resistance power. Especially in winter, we should take like the amla are also available.
Yes. Yes.
So, we should take some fruits like oranges, those so that our resistance power develops.
And in villages, amla chutney is so common.
Yes.
So, knowingly, unknowingly, they are taking vitamin C by having amla chutney.
It's a very good. Amla is very good for health.
And Dr. Sinha, rickets is another disorder which we have heard about. It is due to deficiency of which vitamin?
This is rickets is the disease which affects the bones in children. Sometimes they cannot stand properly. The bones become soft. So, the main sources are sunlight, vitamin D, sunlight. So, in our country, anything that we know,
no
that
problem of sunlight.
Sunlight. And the children, the mothers keep the baby in the sunlight, in the morning sunlight, so that natural vitamin D can come. And other sources are milk, whole grains and vegetables. So, bones are strong with the help of vitamin D.
And it is so easy. It is free also.
Free sunlight. Also. Sunlight free we can also. Get free. So it is very important to get sunlight. And here in our country we can get it. So all the children should play in the sunlight also. Yes. In the morning sunlight. Not in the day. Because
it is scorching
it. Very hot. So in the morning the children should play in the sunlight.
And similarly we have vitamin E and vitamin K which are also very important for our body functions. With this, we now move on to minerals. Minerals are also very important. Children, you must have heard about our bones have calcium, phosphate, our blood has iron. So, we have minerals. Our thyroid can produce hormone in the presence of iodine. So, that is how these minerals have some important function in our body. And we normally get it through vegetables, through fruits, and through those edibles which are grown in soil, because this comes from soil to plant and from plant to us. So minerals such as iron, calcium, sodium, potassium, iodine, etc. are required by the body, of course in small quantities. Always remember, we don't need these minerals in very high quantity. High quantity may result into certain problems. Now let me talk about iron. Just now I was talking about iron. Which we have in RBCs, which helps us in carrying of oxygen, where it is found, the source of iron. Dr. Sinha will say,
the main source of iron are green leafy vegetables, turnip, sprouts, yeast, liver, egg, meat, etc. So for that, we always tell our children to have green leafy vegetables. And some sprouts. In everyday diet, some sprouts, if we add, then it will give us the iron requirement.
And its main function is to form hemoglobin. And children must have heard in their families that this person has anemia, iron deficiency, okay, take iron capsules, take iron injections. Now, this iron, in place of taking injection or capsule, it is better to have those food material which has rich iron content.
And at a regular basis.
And
any regularly one should take so that there is no need of taking any medicine or in the later stage.
And other indication which we can give to our children, anything which is green in color or orange or reddish in color has iron. Like palak, spinach or carrots, tomatoes, these things are rich in iron. Calcium. Of course, best source of calcium is milk. Then other sources are also there. Milk and milk products are the best source. You can say milk, curd, lassi, paneer. Milk products will not mean any other thing. You make some sweets, some other thing with milk products. Not that. Only milk, curd, lassi and paneer will give you milk based calcium. And if somebody doesn't like milk or if milk is not available, then second best source of calcium is till, which is very common in our country. You take till in many forms, in form of some sweets, in form of some preparations. So that is also a very good source. and deficiency of calcium will result into
weak bones.
And you can see that when you are young, your bones are very strong, and when the person is very old, like your grandmother or grandfather, if they fall asleep and they break one or two bones, because now calcium deficiency is there. That means calcium you have to take continuously throughout your life in some or the other quantity.
There is another very important function of calcium, that is, it helps in clotting of blood, which is also very important, and also helps for muscle movement.
Now we should talk about water. Of course, we all drink water, but we must know it consciously that drinking lot of water is important for us, not only to provide fluid medium in the body for various processes, also to help body getting rid of excretory matter in the form of urine and feces from our body. So if you drink more water, your body is at comfort, and if you drink less water, your body is stressed. So never compromise on drinking water. You should drink as much water as possible, but a good water, not infected water. Drinking water is different from common water. So pay attention when you drink water, it is a clean drinking water, and you are not taking any infection through it, but at the same time you are helping your body. Now water is an important part of our diet. It makes 65 to 70% of our body weight. Water regulates the body temperature and provides a medium for biochemical reactions taking place in the body. In addition to this,
another very important part of our diet, that is the raw vegetables. So every day we should take some portion of raw vegetables in the form of salads, which help in bowel movement, which is very important. They form the roughage which is needed to prevent the constipation.
So raw fruits and vegetables we should take along with every meal as far as possible. Not necessarily you have to buy expensive fruits and take. You can take carrots, you can take radish, kira, or onion.
Any seasonal fruit.
Doctor, just a few minutes back you were talking about balanced diet. So would you throw some light, what do you mean by balanced diet?
For our healthy growth and development, we need food. So which provides all the essential nutrients. Just now we were discussing about the essential nutrients in the correct proportion we should take. We should not take too much carbohydrate and leave the other things. We should not take too much fat. So all the nutrients in some proportion we should take. So eating a variety, and we should take variety of foods in proper quantity every day. It constitutes the balanced diet. A balanced diet contains adequate amounts of essential nutrients such as carbohydrates, fats, proteins, vitamins, minerals, water, and some sort of roughage. The proportion may depend on age, sex, pregnancy. The pregnant ladies need more food. So this depends on this aspect. But each and everything we should take, and especially the seasonal fruits and vegetables we should take.
One question, Dr. Sina. When we talk of balanced diet, what should we convey to our learners? Do you want to say that every meal should be balanced, or we can manage to balance one day food? That is 24 hours food what we have taken should be balanced, or every meal should be balanced?
I think every meal should be balanced, right from breakfast, breakfast to dinner. And we should not take too much quantity at one time. We should divide our food and take some portion at one time.
And so, if somebody is not able to do this, then second option is that at least balance 24 hours meal. That you have taken some protein in a day, some fat in a day, some minerals in a day. So if you are able to balance 24 hours diet, that will also do 50% good at least.
That is also, that can be done also.
So since we have talked enough about nutrition, now there is a need to talk about digestive system. What our digestive system is doing in regard to the food which we eat. So the digestive system, when we think of digestive system, we think of alimentary canal. Alimentary canal is a long continuous tube constituted or made by mouth, pharynx, esophagus, stomach, small intestine, large intestine and rectum. The glandular organs like salivary glands, liver and pancreas and the alimentary canal forms the digestive system. Now when in the digestive system food is going through alimentary canal, so definitely enzymes will come in the picture. The process of digestion requires enzymes present in the digestive juices secreted by the organs of digestive system. They convert complex substances into simple ones. Enzymes are chemicals which speed up chemical reactions taking place in cells. Almost all enzymes are complex proteins and remain unchanged during the chemical reaction. They can therefore be used repeatedly. Now, the process which is involved in nutrition, the entire process of nutrition includes many steps like ingestion, digestion, absorption, assimilation and egestion. Ingestion and digestion, that is eating the food and digesting it. The process of taking in food through the mouth is ingestion. The digestion of the food starts from the mouth and ends in the small intestine. So first of all, we come to mouth. Carbohydrates such as starch are broken down or digested to form sugar. Saliva contains an enzyme, salivary amylase, that breaks down starch into sugar. It also helps in lubricating the food and making it easier for swallowing.
So digestion starts right from the mouth. Right from the mouth, the digestion process has started.
Yeah, because salivary
enzyme it helps in digestion. So the starch starts digested in the mouth only.
Right. Children, you all can do one simple activity. Like take a piece of bread or chapati by biting it. And try to feel what the taste is. Now chew well with mouth and roll with tongue here and there. Don't swallow, but just masticate. Now taste will change. It will become little sweet because starch is converted to carbohydrate. So this is the activity, the action of that enzyme you can feel inside your mouth.
Very interesting activity.
Very. Now we will try to learn the function of esophagus. Dr. Sinha will tell us what is the function of esophagus.
The esophagus or the food pipe, by contraction of muscle in its wall, pushes the food into the stomach. The muscle movement, it is the known as the peristalsis, and it helps food travel down the alimentary canal. And from esophagus, the food comes to the stomach. It is a highly muscular organ. The gastric glands present in the wall secrete gastric juice, which contains hydrochloric acid and enzymes like pepsinogen. The hydrochloric acid activates pepsinogen into pepsin and kills the bacteria, which is very important because the food contains some bacteria. So proteins are broken into smaller fragments called peptones by the enzyme called pepsin. The small intestine, the food moves from the stomach to duodenum, which is the upper part of the small intestine. And the fat is broken into fat droplets here, takes place with the help of the bile juice secreted by the liver and stored in the gallbladder. The bile does not have any digestive enzyme, but it creates an alkaline medium, which is essential for the action of pancreatic enzymes.
So, Dr. Sinha, I think alkaline medium is important because it had become acidic medium in the stomach. Stomach had hydrochloric acid.
Yes.
So, that is to be made alkaline, and that is how the liver is also helping.
Yeah.
Now, pancreatic juice you were talking about?
It contains three enzymes, trypsin, which converts the peptones and proteases to smaller peptides, and amylase, which converts starch into maltose, and lipase converts fats into fatty acids and glycerol. The digestion of proteins into end products, that is amino acid, carbohydrates into glucose, and the fats into fatty acids and glycerol, is completed in the small intestine. The inner surface of the small intestine contains thin finger-like projections called villi, which increase the surface area for absorption of digested food into the blood vessels, that the capillaries which lining the villi. The blood then carries the absorbed food to different parts of the body, and the undigested food is pushed into the large intestine.
Now, when we talk about liver, we definitely remember about jaundice, which is the ailment of liver or liver infection. When a person suffers from jaundice, the skin looks pale with yellowish tint due to large amount of bilirubin, a bile pigment, in the blood. The urine becomes deep yellow. Jaundice is caused by the hepatitis virus. The virus is of different types, and now there is an injection that provides immunity from the virus. The infection usually comes from infected water. That is why the need to drink very clean water. Now, once the food reaches the large intestine, this is the point from where it will be thrown out. Very little will happen in large intestine except absorption of some water. This part of the body absorbs water from the undigested food, and solid waste is lubricated to form the feces. The feces pass on to the lower part of the large intestine called rectum and are thrown out of the body through anus. Children, normally you are told that defecate once in a day, defecate right in the morning, go to toilet right in the morning. Why it is said? Because once fecal matter has reached large intestine and has come to rectum, the only thing which can happen is absorption of water. So if you don't go to toilet, if you don't defecate, then this fecal matter is in the rectum and more water is absorbed. With a result, it will become very hard. And then it will be difficult for you to pass it through anus. So that kind of situation called constipation, if you are keeping fecal matter for longer time in rectum, water gets reabsorbed and constipation comes. So regular habit of defecating in the morning is very important.
Physical activity also helps in controlling these defecating habits. It is very helpful. So children should play every day, and some activities which help this regularity of this bowel.
Yeah. And little about absorption. Blood capillaries in the villi pick up digested food and take it to all cells. Assimilation, the absorbed food supplied to cells is used to release energy and also to build up the cell components, and this is assimilation. Let me explain in detail, dear children. When you eat food, it goes to alimentary canal. With the help of enzymes, it is digested. With the help of blood capillaries, it is absorbed. And what is assimilation? When blood carries it and leaves it inside the cell. Once it reaches inside the cell, that is assimilation. And now inside the cell, you have glucose and also you have oxygen through your respiration. This oxygen burns this glucose and gives you energy. So that is energy production. Then also ejection, throwing out fecal matter. The process by which the undigested food material or waste is released from the body is called ejection. So children, you have understood right from ingestion to digestion to absorption to assimilation to production of energy to ejection. Now if you don't eat properly, if you don't take balanced diet, then what all can happen? That is covered in deficiency diseases. Dr. Sinha will explain us.
A deficiency disease that occurs due to lack of adequate and balanced diet. The intake of improper or inadequate diet in human beings is called malnutrition. It is harmful for children and it retards their mental and physical growth. The deficiency diseases can be due to protein, energy, malnutrition, then mineral deficiency diseases, then vitamin deficiency diseases.
So protein, energy, malnutrition is also called PEM. Is it not? And good example are marasmus and kwashiorkor. What happens in marasmus?
It affects the children up to 1 year of age. This occurs in children deprived of mother's milk mainly. So it is very important to get breast milk from mother. And these symptoms of this disease include loss of wasting of muscle, body develops loose folds of skin, and ribs become prominent.
And what are the symptoms of kwashiorkor? Enlargement of liver due to water retention.
Then darkening of skin with scaly appearance. Hair becomes reddish brown. Legs become thin and retardation of physical and mental growth. So eating a protein-rich diet that consists of milk, meat, groundnut, soybean, jaggery, etc. can cure this disease.
Similarly, due to mineral deficiency, we have goiter and anemia. And due to vitamin deficiencies, we have many other diseases. Now, could you tell us a little about goiter? We have very little time.
Goiter is caused due to prolonged iron deficiency, which causes enlargement of
iodine deficiency.
Mm-hmm. And causes enlargement of thyroid gland. So, if iodized salts and seafood are good sources of iodine, so nowadays the government, there is order of the government that all salt should be iodized, so that all of us can get iodine at very low cost.
Now, Dr. Sinha, quickly you could tell something about anemia.
Anemia is the iron deficiency, causes lesser production of hemoglobin and resulting in anemia. An iron-rich diet consisting of spinach, apple, banana, guava, eggs, etc. can help to cure anemia.
So, dear learner, we have discussed about balanced diet, about food, about alimentary canal as a life process. And we finish our session at this point. We hope to meet you in next session with other life processes. If you have any question, you can ask the question. We are still available here. And children, you have understood the need of having balanced diet, and you should never fall into the category of having deficiency diseases. And if you do have that, try to find out what you should eat so that you are able to cure your body as early as possible. Because correct growth is important for you. A correct childhood leads to correct adulthood, and correct adulthood will lead to happy and comfortable old age. With this, we come to the end of this session. Thank you.
Thanks.